I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for
News from the Nest
with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by FanDuel. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. From the money line to the point spreads to player props, make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL.
105.7 The Fan.
That's really important. I mean, the type of person, you know, that Steve Bisciotti would be looking for. I think that's what Eric and I try to look for. I mean, Steve's got an incredible understanding of, you know, of people, and that's his business. That's what he did so well.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach. That was last week. He and Eric DaCosta met with the media, and the question was, what qualities are you looking for from a new offensive coordinator? As Greg Roman stepped away after huddling up, he decided best to move on to his next football destination. And you just heard the coach, Vinny, were actually at that press conference. I found it interesting that he brought up Steve Bisciotti in a coordinator search as well.
Well, Bisciotti, wasn't his business, Bob, doesn't it have to do with, like, because they've always said he's done great interviewing.
Like a staffing.
Yes.
Business.
You know, so I'm sure he's given him some hints, you know, on the interview process and stuff. But, and Harbs even said it's all about him. You know, it's Harbs is the one doing this and finding the guy. You know, I was listening to the morning show this morning, and they thought it would be an in-house guy just because Harbs, you know, wants to kind of mesh the, like, the run game, and that they know who they are, you know, as an offense and everything. But when you bring in a new offensive guy, I mean, that's all nice, said and done and everything, but you're going for his system, you know, I mean, and you want to mesh as much of your run game as you can. You know, I mean, that's what you're trying to do, but you're going to get this guy because he's bringing something that you don't have. He's bringing, you know, more passing game type stuff. And then how can you incorporate Lamar into that? I think there's zero chance. My gut says zero chance from anybody from within. I think it's got to be an outside guy.
Let me ask you this. If you're Gotsy and Urban, who both interviewed already for the job, what are you saying to John Harbaugh as you're trying to pitch yourself as G-Row's replacement? Like, for instance, what are you going to do differently than him but still keep things kind of the same, certainly in the running?
Well, if I'm going in, you know, I know that I'm meeting with Harbs and I'm an in-house guy. I'm Urban or I'm Gotsy. And what I've got exactly what we need to do differently in the pass game, how we incorporate that in the pass game. Harbs, here's what we'll do, you know, differently in the pass game. And then, you know, if you're Harbs, you know, if that's the case, then I'm asking Harbs, well, why didn't you recommend that to G-Row in the first place? And it probably, like, it did. So, you know, G-Row is probably, sounds like G-Row might be kind of a stubborn type guy. Like, you know, I know what I want to do, just, you know, leave me alone. Like Mike Shanahan, because he always told me, he said, listen, when I'm hired, you know, when he came into San Francisco, he said, listen, I don't want a bunch of guys to tell me, you know, how to invent football. I know what I want to do. I just need a good O-line coach and then give me a bunch of young guys. And that's kind of what G-Row's got, the veteran O-line coach, and then got a lot of younger guys, you know. So he didn't, my guess is he didn't want a lot of people telling him what to do.
I mean, just look at his play calling
could speak to the stubbornness.
No doubt.
Because he was real reluctant to change. And whenever you talk about opening vaults, the more it stayed the same. I mean, it got pretty frustrating as a fan to watch the games. And I know we're hard to please, but certainly had to get frustrating for a lot of players.
And we heard the frustration from Harbs, and we heard it from the players, you know, as the season went along, you know, and Dobbins at the end of the year, you know, and we heard it from Marquise last year before he left. So, you know, there's been a lot. And I think, you know, Giro was kind of on the hot seat going into the season that things needed to improve. Now, Bob, the question's going to be is when they do bring in the coordinator, because you know he's going to get to bring in a, and even Marty said that, he'll get to bring in a guy or two.
Sure.
Then who goes? Who goes?
Well, we've talked about it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday. We're live from Jones, Bel Air, and Eastside. We're here until 2. Come on out and say hello and buy a car. You're doing yourself a favor by doing that. If Urban doesn't get the job, what's his incentive to stay?
His incentive to stay is that he's got a job.
Right.
That's
a good
incentive. And then the other thing is like with Godsey and Urban, you know, there's not a lot of guys beating down. There's 10 openings, Bob, and probably 11 now with Carolina. 10, you know, there's 10 OC openings, and Urban and Godsey aren't getting any interviews.
So if you're looking for the new guy, whoever it might be, would you prefer, and I know you've said it before, maybe leaning towards the younger side coming from a system which has been really creative in their past concepts?
The one that intrigues me the most, Bob, I mean, I like getting somebody from Kyle Shanahan tree, somebody like that, or I like the Philly model. And the reason I like the Philly model is because of Jalen Hurts, because of what they've done with him, similar style quarterback, you know, so, and you saw what that offense can become. So that's, and they know they need to go get a receiver. So, you know, because Jalen Hurts was a guy that, all right, we got to find out if this guy can play, to now a guy who might, you know, has got a chance to be the MVP of the league. So that, I kind of like looking at that. I'd interview that. You know, they would be high on my list from the Eagles.
Brian Johnson, 35-year-old quarterback coach.
And it doesn't sound like he's going to get a head coaching job.
So maybe you make a move on him.
Well,
right now he's kind of busy with Philly in the championship game, but still.
Yeah, and the thing about it is Bob, I mean, Harbs is going to know. Because when you're interviewing, you've interviewed people before, you know, when you're interviewing people like in that, you know, there's like when you get done with the guy, you said, damn, he was really good. You know, I really liked him, you know, and I like him as a person, but I got to talk to every, you know. And then you go back and you say, okay, you know, because then, you know, what you're doing is if there's really one you like, everybody that you interview after, it's like, nah, he wasn't quite like, he wasn't as good as him or wasn't like him, you know, or he was better than him. You know, I mean, that's what Harbs will get into because, you know, you got a base for what you like, you know, and okay, he's got to be better than, you know, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, two of the more familiar names that could be available, Byron Leftwich is fired by Tampa, 43 years old. A year ago at this time, he looked like he was going to be a head coach this year. Forget about a guy that's in the unemployment line. And maybe Eric Bieniemy's time in Kansas City might be coming to an end. A guy that I figured, Vinny, after 3 years, would have been in his second or third year as a head coach.
And Bob, you know, there's going to be another one on the market today, I'm guessing, is Kellen Moore, who got runner-up at Carolina. Sounds like he's getting fired in Dallas. You know, and they were just holding off till his interview was over, Bob, and it, like whether he got the job, didn't get the job, because they didn't want to interfere with that. But I think he's going to be replaced, and he's done some good things there. I mean, they scored a lot of points and did those things, you know. So would Harbs interview him? You know, possibly he'll be on that list too.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count some weekend money. Hopefully with buy or sell, Nate Davis. USA Today will preview the championship games with him. Coming up around that time, and then around 12:45, the postseason grades positionally for the Ravens continue on. We're going to talk about wide receiver, one of the more scrutinized parts of this Ravens offense.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney.
sponsored by Window Nation. For one final week, get Window Nation's home show savings. Two free windows with every two you buy, plus no interest for 5 full years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com/home show.
105.7 The Fan.
It's Feature Artist Friday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We are live from Jones Bel Air Nissan until 2 o'clock. Come on out. Say hello to us. Get yourself a vehicle and make it a glorious weekend. No doubt about that. Plenty going on in the world of sports. You got the championship games coming up Sunday. The NFL, Maryland tomorrow, taking on Nebraska at 4:30. You can hear that game. 105.7 The Fan. The Orioles made a trade to bolster their rotation yesterday as they're 19 days away from pitchers and catchers. But for selfish reasons, let's count some money. Hopefully by yourself.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, it's another good day. How about the Dow? First time in a while, it's been over 34,000. So the Dow's up 96. The S&P's up 16. The NASDAQ is up 100. DraftKings up 61 cents. Under Armour's up 26 cents. So my phone is all green today. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. Wonderful day today. We're making money, Bob. So people, come out, buy some cars.
Well, let's start in the NBA here. And the All-Star break coming up here this February. An interesting twist coming to the All-Star game itself. A few years ago, they switched the format of how the teams were constructed. Instead of being by conference, you went with a team captain format. And the team captains would pick their respective teams in a televised event a couple weeks in advance. Well, now they're going to get rid of that and do it right before the game starts. Sort of, a schoolyard.
Pick up on the
right,
schoolyard.
Yeah, pick your team there. Will this create some drama? You know, who's the guy that gets picked last? How does he feel in that situation? Bob, buy or sell, this is a great idea for the format and will become the mainstay moving forward.
Well, I'm going to sell it because, full disclosure, I can't stand the new All-Star format. Yeah. I liked it when it was East versus the West. They actually tried. I understand now everyone plays to not get hurt, even during the regular season. You have your load management. If anything, it will cause some drama because you know the person that goes last is going to take it from all the other players there, and the fans will probably give them the business as well. I haven't watched an All-Star game from start to finish in probably 15 years. I think Michael Jordan will still play it. So, to me, I'm selling it because I don't think I care. That's what I'm going with that. Is that fair? Is that fair?
That's fair.
Bob, one I'm definitely not watching, the Pro Bowl next week.
Flag football?
Forget it.
I could play flag football. I was actually halfway decent at it, Norm. Heck.
Well, the Giants, they've got plenty to be happy about after this season, fighting through a tough division, making the playoffs, winning a game on the road at that. But now, offseason rolling around for them, a lot of tough decisions. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, some big contracts to navigate. And as much as their GM, Joe Shane, says that they want to keep both of them, is that really a reality? Vinny, buy or sell, the Giants will end up having to pick just one of those two.
They got a tight cap situation for a team that was crappy, when Dable got the job. Their cap situation was horrible. So, and they're saying that Daniel Jones is going to get roughly like $30 million a year to keep both. If they want, they can keep both because it's about choices. That's what we always talk about. So I'll buy it because, those two were the game changers for them offensively.
Over to MLB here. As we know, Scott Rolen, he's heading to Cooperstown. Only matter of business left for him, I guess, is preparing a speech for induction day and, of course, deciding how he wants to represent himself on his plaque. Longtime third baseman, spent pretty much equal time in Philly and St. Louis. Stats very similar there in his prime. Gold gloves split evenly as well. So who do you go with on the hat? He's staying undecided for now, but buy or sell, Bob, he will go the Mike Messina, Roy Halladay route, a blank cap for Scott Rolen.
Yeah, Cooperstown should go old school and pick one for him, you know what I mean? But he won Rookie of the Year in Philly, won his world title with the Cardinals. He might go wishy-washy because Messina, he really didn't want to make a decision. He didn't want to agitate anyone. I'll buy it. I think he'll go in with the blank hat, no logo, and in the end, they will both piss him off because if Messina would have picked the Orioles on his Hall of Fame plaque,
They're probably putting a statue out there at that flag court area for him.
Back to the NFL.
But he didn't, and he ain't.
That's right. Not to dig up old wounds or anything.
They've already given his number away.
The Comeback Player of the Year Award in the NFL, usually given to a guy who's all set.
Sorry.
Comeback Player of the Award here in the NFL, usually given to a guy coming off a serious injury. No surprise then to see Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley among the finalists for that this year. But joining them is Geno Smith, who didn't overcome an injury, but rather turned his entire career around, getting back to a starter again after being a longtime backup. And while that's impressive and surprising in its own, Vinny Byersell, McCaffrey, and Barkley are more deserving of that comeback label because of what they did.
Buy it 100% because they had you know, tough rehabs and stuff, you know, and both were outstanding this year. I don't think you could go wrong between those two. I mean, because look what both did for their teams. I don't think the Niners are sitting there if McCaffrey's not there. And with Barkley, they don't make the playoffs with the stuff that he's done. So I think either one of those two guys is a good bet.
And we'll close with this. We'll close with the Orioles. Heard the rumblings last week about who they might be interested in, some top free agents remaining. Of course, they go out yesterday, make that trade, get themselves another starter. But apparently, in these rumblings we heard earlier this week, last week, there was a possibility of them signing Jurickson Profar, former Padres utility man, brings that Swiss Army knife aspect to any team's defense, but you know, he kind of holds his own at the plate as well. He's not your typical utility guy who's a liability at the plate.
He got some pop.
But Bob, buy or sell Profar doesn't really make much sense for the Orioles right now, considering they do have a lot of depth in the outfield and starting to get some in the infield as well.
I believe he was a shortstop by trade at one time. He was the number one prospect. Yep. In all of baseball, he and Scope were buddies coming out of what was Curacao or one of the ABC islands there. He's become kind of a nomad player. He can hit. He's got a little power. He can play both infield and outfield, Norm, as you said. I mean, people get a little – they signed Adam Frazier. While you're blocking, what's his name, Taron Vavra at second base and Westberg's going to come up, do you want to bring in another guy that could stunt the growth of your younger players? I'm not against it 100%. So what am I doing here? Am I soft buying?
You're buying. Doesn't make sense.
Okay, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And Profar, Oakland, what was it? The last year, as you said, with the Padres. He can do some things. Get a little older, of course, since his number one overall prospect days. But, you know, Orioles are loaded with those kinds of guys, aren't they? Unless they have another trade.
Yeah.
Up their sleeves before spring training. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, preview the championship games with Nate Davis from USA Today, and then we're going to break down the Ravens wide receivers of 2022 and where's the help for 2023. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. We'll do our picks here on 105.7 The Fan for the championship games, and then Cordell Woodland, we'll talk some NFL with him, Ravens and a playoff style here on The Fan. We're live from Jones Belair Nissan. Vinny and Haney, 105.7
The best Orioles coverage. The best Ravens coverage. The best Terps coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Featured artist Friday, the Bee Gees. Chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from them. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Send your song request to the Plaza Ford text sign. It's Vinny and Haney. We're live from Jones Belair Nissan. Selling cars till 2 o'clock. And they'll be selling cars long after we leave. So come on out here and take care of yourself with a brand new vehicle. Championship games coming up on Sunday. You can hear them both. 105.7 The Fan. Our coverage starts at 2 o'clock. Let's preview that and more. He joins us on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. He's with USA Today. Let's welcome back to the show Nate Davis. Nate, good afternoon. What's happening?
Afternoon. How are you guys?
Good,
doing
Nate.
All right, Nate. Before we get to the championship games, Steve Wilks did not get the Carolina job. Frank Reich did, as he was dismissed. Frank, of course, midseason by the Indianapolis Colts. Steve Wilks, his representatives, frustrated, disappointed, not necessarily denouncing Frank Reich, but maybe the process itself. How is this all going to unfold for Carolina, and maybe looking ahead to some other instances where fairness has not been part of the equation here?
Well, I think it was justice for Frank, even if it's injustice for Steve Wilks, and like both things can be true. You know, he obviously did a great job bringing that team along from where it was when Matt Rhule got fired. But I think the deal with most interim coaches is, you know, you're there for a reason. You're a substitute teacher, and you're probably there because the owner's starting to look for somebody else. I think we've had three interim coaches of the last 24 in the last, 12 years get hired for the permanent job. So it's pretty rare when it happens. I mean, to me, this is a little bit different situation than the diversity problem that the league has in general with head coaches. But, you know, it's disappointing for Steve Wilks. He did about as good a job, I think, as anyone could be expected to do, given the circumstances he was handed. But, you know, we'll see if more comes of it. But I can't say I'm surprised.
Now, we mentioned Frank Reich, and he was dismissed by Indy. You know, and I'm old enough to remember the Colts and when Bob Irsay owned him here in Baltimore. And I was explaining to Vinny that Jimmy Irsay is taking on a lot of his dad's characteristics, and they're not all great ones. Jeff Saturday appears to be lobbying in, you know, somewhat covert way to get the full-time job. How dysfunctional have the Indianapolis Colts become after they were kind of one of the model AFC franchises for a while
there? You said it. I mean, it seems like a little bit of that Irsayism is creeping in a little bit. You know, I don't know that they're full dysfunction. You know, I still think Chris Ballard is a really good GM, but it's totally within his circumstances. I mean, you know, I don't think that starting Sam Ellinger was his call, and we saw that the Colts went back to Matt Ryan after Jeff Saturday got in there. But Irsay is getting older. I think we saw that he was he told my colleague Jared Bell that he was pretty upset that they only got the one Super Bowl win out of Peyton Manning, and he expected that Andrew Luck was going to give him multiples. And we saw how that went. So, he's getting older, but the expectation that the horseshoe, as he loves to refer to it, you know, is up in that elite tier teams. You know, that just hasn't come to pass the last couple of years. And it is, some of it is bad luck. I mean, the Andrew Luck thing was horrible luck, and it definitely set that franchise back at least 5 years, maybe more. It'll be interesting to see I can't imagine they're going to go back down the veteran quarterback path, given how that's worked out for them, since they've got the opportunity to get probably a C.J. Stroud or the Bryce Young in the draft. But we'll see what happens there.
Hey, Nate, when we look at the, Niners and the Eagles game, I mean, I can't wait for both. I think both games are going to be spectacular. Now, and everybody keeps talking about Brock Purdy. Oh, the bubble's going to burst. Everybody keeps saying that, and the bubble never bursts. Does it burst this weekend?
I don't go into it expecting it'll burst. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me either way. I mean, history says, I guess it will, because we've never seen a quarterback take a team to the Super Bowl. I think he's the fifth guy that's taken one to a conference championship game. I mean, this will be the first time his first playoff start on the road. And, as we know, starting the link is no joke. And I think the Dallas defense last week was the best he'd seen. And that was probably his most so-so performance we've seen. And Philadelphia is just as good. I mean, it's tough facing down Micah Parsons. It's more tough facing down four guys that have 10 sacks, plus the cover guys they got in the back end. But, we've seen Kyle Shanahan put him in successful situations. They're not asking Brock Purdy to, necessarily throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. And I think given the quality of defense they have, that's where they hang their hat. And if Brock can just kind of color between the lines, I mean, I think they certainly have more than a puncher's chance to come out of there with the win.
Now, in the other game, Nate, can the Bengals block Chris Jones? That's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see, and we'll kind of see how much the Chiefs, decide to move him around. I know they kind of had the failed experiment of moving him outside last year before ultimately putting him back in the middle where he belongs. That's actually where the Bengals, are healthiest. I think they Bolson and the center there, or the not Kappa, but anyway, they're healthiest in the interior and less healthy on the edge. So curious to see how Steve Spagnuolo tries to exploit that. I mean, to me, the best defense that the Chiefs can employ probably is doing what they did last week and trying to run for 140 yards and keeping Joe Burrow off the field. Because I think if they blitz him too much, I hate to leave any of those receivers he's got one-on-one, but we kind of saw also, you know, if you lay back, he's bound to pick you apart too. So I'm curious to see how many different, you know, techniques Steve Spagnuolo will try to finally beat this team.
Hey, Nate, I would say that in this game, and we had Jeff Hobson on earlier from Bengals.com, you know, and I told Hobbs, I said, Hobbs, I think, you know, the key in this game is which receiver group, running back group has the most yak yards, because both teams want to get it to their guys and let them run after the catch.
Yeah, no, I think so. And we saw, you know, Mixon, we've seen him get chunk plays. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen what a dangerous guy Jet McKinnon. And actually, I don't think he was targeted last week for the first time in months. But, I mean, we've seen – he had what, like 11 touchdown catches or something crazy? Like unheard of kind of numbers from a running back. So we'll see how that goes. But Pacheco, I mean, it's not really – it almost seems like it's not an Andy Reid offense as much as they've kind of used more 3 yards in the cloud of dust at times with Pacheco. And they did it last week against Jacksonville. But you're right. I mean, I think either team wouldn't mind grinding the clock and keeping the other quarterback off the field. But – yeah, I think the run after catch thing is good. And I think, you know, people in Baltimore know Hayden Hurst. I thought they really deployed him nicely against the Bills last week. I think he was 5 catches, 59 yards, and it seemed like every one of his catches was for a first down. So,
Hey, Nate, now Philly and Kansas City, two of the tougher places to play. Do you think that either team has a huge advantage? You know, the Bengals have gone there and won. San Fran, they played in Seattle, which is extremely loud. So do you think the crowd noise affects either team?
At this stage, I think it gets a little overblown. I mean, I think these teams are happy to be home. I think maybe the biggest advantage at this point is that you don't have to, you know, travel. I think certainly that's a good thing for Patrick Mahomes, not having to get on an airplane with the ankle. But, you know, the Bengals have won an Arrowhead/Burrowhead, you know, whatever they're calling it, you know, in a big spot last year when Mahomes was fully healthy and had a terrible second half. And, you know, I don't think we've seen two number one seeds make a Super Bowl since the Eagles-Patriots in Super Bowl 52. So I think it, when you get to this point down to your final four teams, and just looking at the lines, I mean, either team, I think it's 1.5 or 2.5. And if you buy into the whole home field being a 3-point advantage, I mean, that tells you right there what the oddsmakers think of this. So I think they're both pretty close to coin flip games, in my opinion.
Nate Davis, USA Today, championship games coming up this Sunday. Nate, we appreciate the time. Have fun with the playoffs, and we'll talk to you before the Super Bowl.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Nate Davis joining us. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, going to break down the Ravens receivers, 22 version, and how much better they need to get in 2023. Red Jones, Bel Air, Nissan. We're here till 2 o'clock. Come out and get a car because you'll be doing yourself a favor by doing so. Got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock, and then our picks. Me, Vinny, and Nolan McGraw are going to pick our choices. Going to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57. Any surprises? I got to be honest with you, Vinny, we're about a half hour before the picks, and I still don't know who I'm picking yet.
I know it. It's crazy, Bob. I mean, I go back and forth all the time, and like you said, we got to pick him. Norm's picking first because he's in the lead right now.
That's right, Nolan. You're ready for that smoke here on The Fan.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney posts up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
I know what the fans would like. There's a lot of different ways to go about constructing the team and finding players and affording players and various things like that. What we don't want, I think, is to mortgage 2 years from now, 3 years from now, by paying a whole bunch of guys this year.
Eric DaCosta, that was last week. Had a one winning drive along with John Harbaugh talking about the Ravens wide receivers. It needed to be upgrade for sure, and whether they'd be willing to sacrifice draft capital to acquire a true number one. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist, Friday's Bee Gees. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request to the Plaza Sport text line. And we talked about it yesterday, Vinny. You were there as he was making those comments. Mm-hmm. What was he saying?
in so many words.
Well, he doesn't want to have like eight stars that they're paying top dollar to and nothing else. You know, you have no depth. That's kind of what he, you know, because if you're paying your quarterback, you're paying a wide receiver, you're paying a tight end, you're paying a left tackle, you're paying a linebacker, you're playing corners, all right, then where's the middle class? You know, you got to have a middle class too. So I think that's a big part of what he's saying. But he's also saying that, you know, you can make things work if they go get that big-time receiver. All right, when we always talk about choices, Bob, then it comes down to choices. Okay, we're going to get that receiver, but such and such, such and such, and such and such have a chance to be cap cash. Chuck Clark, you know, Gus Edwards, you know, some guys have a chance to be cap casualties because of that.
Now, he mentioned he understands what the fans would want, and I'll speak as a fan. Mm-hmm. Ravens draft history at wide receiver is not being good.
Right.
And he's used two of his first-round picks since he took over for Ozzie on wide receiver. And one's gone, Marquise Brown. And the other one, Devin Duvernay, can't stay healthy.
Rashad Bateman.
Can't stay healthy. So that has become somewhat of a problem area. Ozzie Newsome had his whiffs at that draft spot, too. So fans are looking at it like, hey, all right, we got it. And Smith and Jeeba from Ohio State could be a steal at 22 because he was expected to be the number one receiver in this year's class. Then he got hurt and wasn't even the number one receiver on his own team when it was all said and done. Marvin Harrison Jr. is, but he's not eligible until next year. So I'm guessing Eric understands that the fan angst comes from the fact that historically they haven't hit home runs drafting wideouts.
See, and I think what the fans would like, Bob, I mean, to me, what I would like, probably what you would like is just like Philly did and like Buffalo did.
Absolutely.
You're getting a known quantity that's not 31 years old. You know, everybody wants Hopkins, you know. I mean, I prefer a younger guy if you can get. That's what I would prefer, because how long are you going to have Hopkins for? You know, and he wants a new deal, and he wants $25 million a year, and you got to give up, you know, probably a third-round pick for him. I'd rather give up my first and get a younger guy, just because if I'm taking a receiver at one, and I can get a known quantity, and we'll just use Michael Pittman Jr. as a name.
Right.
All right.
So good name. I like it. I like
where you're going. So I'm getting a 25- or 26-year-old guy, you know, so I'm using the 26th pick on a guy that what you love about a guy like that is each year, boom, boom, boom. More receptions each year, where he's had 99 this past year. So you're getting a guy whose arrow is pointing up, still getting better, and I got to pay him? Fine. You know, but I know what I'm buying. With a draft pick, I don't know what I'm buying. And when you look at the receiver room, I mean, Bob, I like Bateman a lot. I think Bateman's a super talented guy, but he's been hurt 2 years in a row, just like Lamar has. All right, Duvernay's not a great route runner. And, you know, he's not the tallest guy in the world. And he's a little tight. You know, the route running, he can't create a bunch of separation. He's got burst. He's got explosive. He's got all those things. His thing is, you know, he's a good returner. He's got a $4 million something cap number this coming year. Proche makes too many mistakes. And Proche is Mr. August.
Yeah.
Does great in August.
Eight catches in 15 games this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, you know, I got to find younger. He's replaceable. Tylan Wallace, same thing.
2 years in, what's he done?
Special teams is what he is. So, I mean, who do I want to keep in that room? I want to keep two guys, you know, because Harbs has said, and Eric says, they want to redo that room. I would, too. You know, forget the D-Rob. You know, I'm done. Done with that. You know, Bob, done with the old has-beens that everybody else has cut. I don't want that. I want guys that can play. I need guys that can play. I need guys that can play for my quarterback so my quarterback can take the next step, so my quarterback wants to be here, so offensive coordinators want to come here, so we get more productive in the passing game. That's what they're looking for. So I've got two in the room, and I'm keeping five or six. So there's three or four spots that are wide open.
You mentioned DeMarcus Robinson. He was their leading receiver as a wideout this year, 48 catches, 458 yards, couple of touchdowns, scored a TD in the playoff loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. But at best, he's a complimentary piece on a deep. I mean, he was that guy in Kansas City. He was a complimentary guy. Didn't even make it through training camp with the Raiders this year.
Bob, if he's starting, if he's your number one, you don't have a good receiving core. That's the bottom line. And it is what it is. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, teams are playing. Pittsburgh is lining up a 6-2. They're putting three defensive backs in the game because that's how much respect they got for the receiving core. The only guy people had respect for was the tight end, Mark Andrews. Other than that, you know, hey, we'll play man-on-man on these guys. You know, can they can't get open.
Now, for Bateman, 7 games, 15 catches, average 19 a reception, 2 touchdowns. But if we're looking at Bateman next year and he's played 9 games out of 17, how are we evaluating him heading into his fourth season?
Yeah,
I mean, this I'm guessing this is a big year for him because now they got to start picking up options. Soon.
Right. Well, you can't make the club in the tub, you know, and that's he's got to he's and he knows it too, Bob. I mean, you've got to be able to stay healthy, and he's got to be able to stay healthy because the kid's got talent and ability. You just want him to be able to be on the field so he can show that talent and ability and perform because we've seen him make plays. We've seen him do those things, you know, and I think whoever comes in as coordinator is going to take much more advantage of the wide receivers in the pass game and the running backs in the pass game.
So if you're grading the receivers as a group, you know, I'm guessing they have to go to summer school.
Yeah, they need a few more credits, Bob. I mean, to me, when you're grading the receiving core as a group, you know, D?
You know, that's what Jeff Zrebeck gave him from The Athletic.
Yeah, I mean, I there's nothing there that, you know, at the end of the season, there's nothing there that I like. I mean, you know, could any of them, here's the thing. If you, and we always go back to this, if you just use the AFC North and we're putting receivers, you know, on the board and I've got my rankings, all right, where are the Ravens receivers in that rankings of all four teams? They're on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, so, all right, how do I beat those teams if my receivers are the worst in the division? I've got to get better. I've got to have at least, you know, I've got to be up in the second or, you know, third. I've got to be better at that. I can't have all my receiving core be the last on the bottom.
We had a texter or caller a couple of days ago mention in the AFC North, okay, the Ravens probably have the best tight end. And Mark Andrews, and Freiermuth's good, and Hurst, and certainly Njoku in Cleveland. But Cleveland's got Chubb, Amari Cooper, and Watson.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's got Burrow, Mixon, P. Ryan, and, of course, Higgins, Boyd, and Chase. Obviously Jamar Chase. Pittsburgh even has, all right, Pickett's still to be determined, but Najee Harris has proven he can get it done. Pickens looks like he's going to be a future stud.
Yep.
Ravens have Lamar, Dobbins, and a blank space unless Bateman becomes that guy. And how many of us are holding our breath that he will be consistently over the course of a full season?
To me, if you're the Ravens, you almost got to go in and you're hoping, but you're not counting. You know, you got to go in almost as we have nobody.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL lunch, beat us some football. Going to hear from some of the participants in this Sunday's championship games. We'll do our picks for the games as Nolan McGraw will be joining us for that. Cordell Woodland, shaking it up, sports bottom of the hour. Going to talk about the Ravens and the NFC and AFC title games, which can be heard on 105.7 The Fan. We're live from Jones, Bel Air, Nissan. We're here for another hour. Come out and say hello to us. We got a lot going on. We've got cars. We've got pizza. We got all sorts of fun things. Don't miss out on it. Join us here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.